Grace and peace in Jesus Christ. It's fitting that we talk about culture today because this past week we celebrated the independence of our nation. When we think about culture, that's usually what we think of first. We think of nationality or ethnicity. These are certainly important parts of culture, but there's a lot more to it as well. Culture is really anything that shapes you as a person, anything that influences how you believe or what you choose to make of meaning in the world. Sometimes culture is chosen, sometimes you're born with it. Another way to think about it is that culture is like a lens through which you understand and interpret the world around you. We attach certain meanings to things based on our culture. And it's important for us to understand that culture is a lot more than just my nationality. Religion is part of our culture as well. Our faith is obviously something very important to us that shapes the way we think. Our faith is certainly something that provides meaning for our lives. Therefore, as we think about culture today and its impact in our lives, we need to recognize that when we speak about this topic, we're going to talk about our faith. But it's also valuable for us to understand that our culture of faith is only as important as what it can do beyond this world. What I mean by that is that faith has to be about more than just what I experience today and in my life on this earth. Culture gives us meaning to past, present, future. Culture helps us develop what's important to us here and now. But if my faith is going to be something valuable for me, it has to do more than that in my life. Ultimately, faith needs to touch on eternity. Faith needs to tell me something about spirituality. Faith needs to be able to get me into the unknown that I can't experience in the here and now. Many people today believe that religion as an aspect of culture is really nothing more than something for the here and now. It's really nothing more than somebody's cultural identity in present time. This is one reason why we see increasing hostility toward Christian witness and evangelism, because in the world today, it's seen as an attack on a person's cultural identity. Well, no one wants to try to change somebody in that way. This is what we lose when we see religion only as a matter of the here and now. When in reality, God tells us that our faith transcends culture. It's certainly part of it, but it goes beyond that as well. And when we lose sight of that very important fact, it strikes at the very root of what our faith is all about. Today, we seek to understand how to positively affect the culture around us. Instead of letting the world run roughshod over our faith, how do we display Christ in a proper way? Instead of hastening after every popular thought and opinion in our day and age, how do we maintain integrity and truth? And perhaps most important of all, when it comes to culture, how do we provide a proper witness of Jesus Christ as the loving Savior and Redeemer of the whole world without sounding self-conceited and puffed up in our own wisdom? Let's take a look at a lesson today from God's Word that shows us a path in this matter from Acts chapter 17. We read from verses 16 to 21. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, and saying, May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy in Athens. And as he was waiting for them, he encountered a scene very similar to what we may witness in our culture today. Athens was a melting pot of different cultures. We're told that Paul reasoned with the Jews and other devout persons, meaning other religious people. He also conversed with Epicurean and Stoic Greek philosophers. Along with these different cultures came not only a variety of ethnicities that Paul encountered, but a variety of ways to approach the truth. A variety of different religions, if you will. The Stoics and the Epicureans dated back to the 300s BC. Their founders kind of strove for the same goal, and that was fulfillment and happiness in life. That was their pursuit of truth. That was the attainment, if you will, of truth. But the Stoics and the Epicureans went about this in vastly different ways. For the Stoics, getting to that point of happiness and fulfillment was about serving others, self-denial, if you will. The Epicureans, on the other hand, took the position that if you want to attain happiness, you give yourself what you want. You satisfy all of your pleasures and desires as much as you can, and that's how you will reach fulfillment. Their philosophy was essentially to do whatever seemed best for you to try to reach that one goal. In our day and age, many people would celebrate the great diversity of cultures that Paul witnessed there in Athens that day, but he didn't. Rather, Paul mourned at the false paths of wisdom that were being taught. Paul was sorrowful at the vain philosophies he encountered that were leading men and women to destruction, not to fulfillment. We're told in our text that Paul was so moved by what he saw that he was provoked in his spirit to preach Christ. But in order to do that, that would mean that Paul would have to cut to the heart of these cultures. In Paul's approach, we see how believers can positively affect their culture. You preach Christ. You declare the truth that God's one and only Son came into the world and died for the sins of all people and rose again in victory and life. What a simple message to proclaim. What an easy answer to this question of how can we be a positive influence in the world around us? But we know that in practice, it's not always that easy, is it? The message of Christ sounds simple enough, and indeed it is, because it's meant to be so simple that all people can understand and believe it. But when we get into the subtleties of Paul's approach, we see other areas of how we can be a positive influence in the world around us. And we see how it can be difficult to do that, even though the Lord has given us a clear message. First of all, in Paul's approach, we see that he doesn't care what others think about him. This is one thing that is so hard to put into practice in our lives. We know the typical shame and guilt that the world heaps upon Christians who stand for God's word. Christians who boldly proclaim their faith. No one enjoys being belittled for their faith. No one likes being insulted for what they believe and what they hold as most valuable in their life. As we mentioned earlier, many people look at Christians as cultural snobs that run over other people's cultures without thinking about the effect. It's hard for us when we encounter these situations not to shy away from proclaiming God's word and truth. But we take an example from Paul. He wasn't concerned about that. As far as we know in this text that Paul was the only Christian present there in that discussion. But he wasn't worried about people calling him a babbler. He wasn't concerned about the Stoics or Epicureans thinking that they knew more than Paul. He just spoke of Jesus. Notice that the philosophies of those Greek individuals endure to this day, don't they? So much of our culture in the United States is about fulfilling what I want the most, achieving what I want over everything else. We hear the popular sayings of follow your dreams. You do you. Don't let anybody hold you back. All of these things are focused on fulfilling what we want most of all. Sure, there are many avenues and many ways to getting what you want. Just like the Stoics and the Epicureans, you can take a variety of different approaches, but it all sort of centers on the same thing, doesn't it? That me first attitude. How does that type of culture align with what God tells us about our faith? Listen to what Jesus himself said about the highest of morals and virtues. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. To his disciples, Jesus said, by this the world will know that you are my disciples, when you love one another. To the crowds on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Paul told the Philippians in a different letter about Christ. He said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What a difference between cultures that we see. If our faith is important to us, if Jesus himself is important to us, we must recognize this conflict between his word and the world's word. Equipped with the gospel and word and sacrament, we don't have to worry about the shame and guilt of those who disagree with us. We're covered in Jesus Christ. We're protected by his word. We are safe through his death and resurrection. That kind of thinking, that kind of attitude in your life, going out and sharing that message with others, can change a person from a me-first focus to one that's directed at others and God. We also see from Paul's approach that to positively affect culture, you must care about truth more than opinion. Another thing about cultures, no matter what it is it changes. It fluctuates depending on the circumstances and the surrounding area. We're told in our text that the Greek philosophers sat around their discussion chamber and looked for something new to talk about. What they chose to focus on was not about truth, but it was about what was popular at that time. They were excited to hear new things. They were interested in what Paul had to say, not because they were latching on to the truth of it all, but because it was new to their ears. In our age, Christianity is not a new thing anymore. Christianity is old news. Christianity, in many ways, is falling out of style with the culture around us. We have examples of how this plays out in Scripture as well. Ours is not the only culture to endure this. In God's dealings with his people in the Old Testament, we see it happen time and time again. So often with the nation of Israel, when they went after something that steered them in the wrong path of their faith, when they fell into idolatry, it often started with something that was new and exciting to them. Consider the words of God's prophet Jeremiah when trying to bring the people back from idolatry, when trying to get them to recognize the danger of the false prophets that they were allowing to preach in their midst. Jeremiah told them this, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. Jeremiah told them, don't chase after what's new and exciting and popular. Stay in what is true, even if that truth is old for you, even if you've grown up with it, even if you're familiar with it. Stay with what is true, and you will find rest for your soul. People's response to Jeremiah was, we will not walk in it. to positively affect your culture toward Christ, you need to be invested in truth, not opinion. Paul didn't care about the fascination that these Greek philosophers had with his new teaching. He didn't continue talking with them that day because they were flattering him with their praise of delivering this new and exciting message to them. In a couple of verses after our text, Paul would call them to repentance. Paul would say to them, recognize these truths because there's a day approaching quickly when God will judge the world with the very one he sent to redeem the world. For Paul, the cultural impact was on declaring the truth of Jesus Christ as Lord and Redeemer. And it didn't matter to whom he spoke. It didn't matter if they already knew this message and were familiar with it, or if they hadn't heard it before. Paul stuck with the truth of Jesus Christ. And the thing about this is that when we focus on the truth of Jesus Christ in the gospel, it's not something that destroys culture. It's not something that has to change it because it transcends it. Remember how we opened up and I told you, if your faith is going to mean something for you, it has to go above the here and now. It has to give you something for eternity. And that's where the gospel comes in. That's what the message of Jesus Christ as Savior does. It transports us above the world around us and gives us something of eternal and lasting value. Something that applies to each and every person in the world. This is why Christianity, though it started in Jerusalem, could spread around the globe, could spread to different nationalities and different ethnicities and different cultures, all based on the same central truth, because it doesn't have to change it. It goes above it. It transcends it. But it all starts with one individual who cares about the truth and who is willing to speak that truth. Paul was not ashamed. Paul was not infatuated with popularity or flattery. But did Paul really accomplish anything? Consider this modern day parable that you might be familiar with. An old man was doing his daily walk along the beach one morning, and he spotted a young boy crouched by the water. And the boy was scooping something up and throwing it back into the sea. And as he got closer, he noticed the boy walking down a little further and doing the same thing, bending down, scooping up, and tossing back into the sea. The old man came up to the young boy and said, "What are you doing?" The boy replied, "I'm saving these starfish that are stranded. If they stay on the beach, they're going to dry out. They're going to die. So I'm putting them back in the water so they can live." The old man paused for a few seconds. "Young man," he said, "on this stretch of beach alone, there are hundreds of starfish. Around the next corner, there are probably thousands and thousands more. This goes on for miles and miles and miles." The old man said, "I've walked this path every day for 10 years, and it's always the same. Nothing changes. There must be millions of starfish stranded on this beach. I hate to say it, but what you're doing will never matter." As the boy tossed another starfish in the sea, he replied, "Well, it mattered to that one." And he continued with his work. Did Paul accomplish anything that day in Athens? Do we accomplish anything when we try to positively affect our culture? The philosophies of the Stoics and Epicureans flourish today. They continue on. They haven't died out after all these years. Paul really didn't change anything in that sense of the word. But he did make a difference, just as we can make a difference. What we've seen from God's word today is that you can make a difference even if you don't start a global movement, even if you don't completely reverse all the ills and bad things about your culture that you see around you. Change starts with one person who cares about the truth and who's willing to share the truth. That truth that God gives you is that Jesus is your Lord and Redeemer. That Jesus was innocent victim on the cross for the sins of the world, but also eternal victor through the glory of his resurrection. That's the truth. That's what you have to go out into the world and share. That matters. That can change the world. Not because it destroys culture, not because it forces each and every nation and ethnicity and person to be exactly the same type and kind. The truth of the gospel makes a difference because it transcends culture, because it's about eternal life with God. Amen. Please rise.